Happy Sabbath, brethren. The title of this message is Trusting the Hand of Our God. We all are quite aware of the need for our blessing and reminder and encouragement for each other to build one another up, as Paul admonished us, and encourage one another as you so are doing. And in these times of war in Europe and all the pre-Holy Day afflictions and everything else that we see around us, we need to focus on trusting the hand of our God. And let's look at some of the positive and negative factors of the hand of our mighty God, and the favor and the power that He wields with His powerful right hand. In Hebrews 10, verse 30, Paul said, "We know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." He was talking about those who practice sin. And as well, in Exodus 3:20, God told Moses to tell Pharaoh that he said, "I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, Pharaoh, will let you go." So notice God's hand and presence regarding the Ark of the Covenant in Ashdod, Ekron, and so forth. When the Philistines captured the Ark in 1 Samuel 5, and they took it to several towns of theirs, and they all ended up getting rid of it. It's quite a humorous story to see how God caused the idol of Dagon to fall before the ark a couple of times, and they wanted to get rid of it, and how he afflicted them. 1 Samuel 5, verse 6, "Now the hand of the Lord was heavy on the Ashdodites, and he ravaged them and smote them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territories." 1 Samuel 5, verse 9, "After they brought the ark around to another city, the hand of the Lord was against the city with very great confusion, and he smote the men of that city, both young and old, so that tumors broke out on them." Chapter 5 of Samuel, verse 11. They sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines. They all got tired of this heavy hand of God on them. And then they said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it go back to its own place so that it doesn't kill us and our people. For there was deadly destruction throughout all the city because the hand of God was very heavy there." 1 Samuel 7:13. The story continues. "When the Philistines were subdued, God caused thunder so loud that they were subdued in the battle when they were attacking the Israelites, and they did not continue any more with the border of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel." The lesson for us, the New Living Translation of Hebrews 10, verse 35. "So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised." Hebrews 10, verse 37, "For just in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay, and my righteous ones will live by faith, and I'll take no pleasure in the one that turns away." We have to remember what David said in Psalms 95, that we are the people of his pasture, and we are the sheep of his hand. Let's take a look at what the experience of Ezra was and how he recorded it in several chapters, three chapters of Ezra, how Ezra acknowledged and trusted in the hand of God. Ezra chapter 6. "Then King Darius issued a decree." They had been fighting with rivals that were trying to delay and stop them from building the temple in Jerusalem. And Ezra was wanting to go back and back to Jerusalem from Babylon. The exiles were hoping and praying that God would bless them to get them back to Jerusalem where they could finish the temple. And God gave them favor. King Darius issued a decree, and a search was conducted in the archives, Ezra 6:1. And in the fortress, in the prince of the Medes, a scroll was found, and it was written, a memorandum. In the first year of King Cyrus, Cyrus the king issued a decree concerning the house of God in Jerusalem. Let the temple, the place where sacrifices are offered, be rebuilt, and let its foundations be repaired, its height being 60 by 60 cubits, and three layers of large stones, and all the details that he went through that Cyrus had declared that they should finish this. Also the gold and silver utensils that Nebuchadnezzar had taken, he wanted them to bring it back from Babylon to Jerusalem. And you shall put them in the house of God. They recognized that the temple in Jerusalem was the house of God. You can see the favor of the hand of God here. In chapter 6, verse 6, now as for you, so they're declaring, Darius later on is declaring to Tattenai, the governor of the province beyond the Euphrates, you and your colleagues and the officials of the provinces beyond the river, stay away from there. Stay away from Jerusalem. Leave the work of that God's house alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews rebuild that house of God on its site. Furthermore, I issue a decree concerning what you are to do for these elders that are rebuilding the house of God. And the full cost is to be paid to those people from the royal treasury out of the taxes of the provinces beyond the river, beyond the Euphrates. And that is to be done without interruption. Wow, is this incredible favor of the hand of God. And whatever is needed, bulls, rams, lambs, anything under heaven, wheat, salt, wine, oil, all that the priests in Jerusalem order is to be given to them daily without fail. Chapter 6, verse 12, and may God, who caused his name to dwell there, overthrow any king or people that attempts to change this decree or try to destroy the house of God in Jerusalem. I, Darius, have issued this decree. It's to be carried out with all diligence. So the temple was completed and dedicated, and the elders of the Jews were successful in building the temple through the prophecy and encouragement of Haggai and Zechariah, the prophets, chapter 6, verse 14. They finished building, and they followed the command of the God of Israel and the decree of Cyrus, Darius, Artaxerxes in Persia. The temple was completed on the third day of the month of Adar, in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. We can see how God's hand was so instrumental in all of this that was going on, and the favor that God gave to the Israelites. And the sons of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles, they celebrated the dedication of this house of God with joy. Verse 19, chapter 6, the exiles held the Passover on the 14th of the first month. And the priests and the Levites had purified themselves. All of them together were pure. They slaughtered the Passover lambs for the exiles, for the brothers and the priests, and the sons of Israel returned from exile, and all those that separated from the impurity of the nations around them to join them and seek the God of Israel. They all ate the Passover together, and they held the Feast of Unleavened Bread, as we will be doing in a few weeks. They held it for 7 days with joy, because the Lord had made them happy and had turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them to encourage them in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. See how God's hand was being magnified and displayed and shown in so many ways here. Then Ezra journeys from Babylon to Jerusalem. Chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, Ezra went back to Jerusalem. And Ezra was a priest, a high priest, the son of Aaron, one of the 17th generation, I think it was, son of Aaron. Chapter 7, verse 6. So this very Ezra, this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses, which God, the God of Israel, had given, and the king granted him all that he requested, because the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. And some of the sons of Israel, priests and Levites and singers and gatekeepers and servants of the temple, went up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. They came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, chapter 7, verse 8, which was the seventh year of the king. On the first day of the month they left, to begin to go up to Babylon, and on the first of the fifth month they arrived at Jerusalem, because the good hand of his God was upon him. For Ezra had firmly resolved to study the law of the Lord, to practice it, and teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. Now there was a decree on behalf of Ezra, chapter 7, verse 11. Here's a copy of the letter that Artaxerxes gave to Ezra the priest, the scribe, who was learned in the words of the commandments of the Lord and his statutes. Artaxerxes, king of kings, to Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace. I have issued, verse 13, a decree that any people of Israel and the priests and the Levites in my kingdom who are willing to go, they may go with you. See what God's favor provided for them, that he was giving them permission. Anyone of the land of your priests could go with you to Jerusalem from Babylon. Since you are sent on the part of the king and my seven advisors to inquire about Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of your God that's in your hand, and to bring all the silver and gold that the king and his advisors have voluntarily given to the God of Israel, whose dwelling is in Jerusalem. See, they recognized that God's dwelling was in Jerusalem. With all the silver and gold that you find in the province of Babylon and all the willing offerings that people would give to bring to Jerusalem. With this money, therefore, you shall diligently buy bulls and rams and lambs and grain offerings and drink offerings and offer them on the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. And whatever seems good to you and your brothers to do with the rest of the silver and gold, you may do according to the will of your God. Also the utensils that are given to you for the service of your God, deliver them in full before the God of Jerusalem, and the rest of the needs of the house of God that may be incumbent upon you to provide, go ahead and provide them from the royal treasury. See, God, this king gave them full permission because of God's hand upon them. Chapter 7, verse 21 of Ezra. I myself, King Artaxerxes, I issue a decree to all the treasures in all the provinces beyond the Euphrates, that whatever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of God of heaven, may ask you for or require of you, it shall be done diligently. Whatever is commanded by the God of heaven, it shall be done with zeal for the house of the God of heaven, so that there will not be wrath against the kingdom of the king and his sons. We also inform you that it's not allowed to even impose taxes or tributes or toll on any of the priests or Levites or singers or doorkeepers or temple servants or any other servants of this house of God. What kindness the king had because of the hand of God on them. Verse 27, chapter 7 of Ezra. Blessed be the Lord, the God of our fathers, who has put such a thing as this in the king's heart, Ezra writes. Ezra says, to glorify the house of the Lord that's in Jerusalem, and God has extended favor to me before the king and his counselors, before all the king's mighty officials. So, Ezra says, I was strengthened according to the hand of the Lord my God that was upon me, and I gathered leading men from Israel to go up with me. So then Ezra names all those who went with him to Jerusalem from Babylon in chapter 8. And then in verse 15, he says, so I assembled them at the river that runs to Ahava, where we camped for 3 days. And I was paying close attention to the people and priests, I couldn't find any Levites there. So I sent for Eleazar and a whole list of other leading men, and I told them to go to Iddo, the leading man in an area called Casiphia, and I told them what to say to them, to his brothers and the servants there, to bring ministers for us to the house of our God. Verse 18, and as the good hand of our God was upon us, they brought us a man of insight from the sons of Mahli, the son of Levi, a Levite, and his sons, 18 men, and of his brothers, 20 men, and 220 temple servants that David and the officials had provided for the service of the Levites, all of them listed by name. So verse 21 of chapter 8, Ezra continues, and he said, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava to humble ourselves before our God, to seek from Him a safe journey from Babylon to Jerusalem. They were all fasting on that three-day camping trip there by the river. They wanted to fast for a safe journey for us and our little ones and our possessions. For he says, I was ashamed to request from the king troops and horsemen to protect us from the enemy on the way, because we had already said to the king, we had told him, the hand of our God is favorably disposed to all that seek him. This is a lesson we can remember and encourage each other with. The hand of our God, this is what Ezra said, is favorably disposed to all who seek him. But we had told the king his power and anger are against all who abandon him. We can rest assured that God's anger and power are against all who are doing evil, especially in the war in Europe right now. So Ezra says, we fasted and sought our God concerning this matter, and he listened to our pleading. He listened to our pleading. Then we journeyed from the river Ahava on the 12th of the first month to go to Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us. He rescued us from the hand of the enemy and the ambushes by the road. So we came to Jerusalem and stayed there for 3 days. So they measured out and placed all the treasures that were in the temple and distributed them all. And they delivered the king's letters and edicts to all the satraps and governors in all the provinces beyond the Euphrates River. And they all, because of God's favor, they all supported the people in the house of God because of God's hand upon all this, all these people, even those that were not part of Ezra's group in Israel, those exiles that were going back from Babylon to Jerusalem. So what can we do? Isaiah 41 tells us we can take the lessons from the hand of God. Fear not. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is what the hand of God is all about. Laura shared a meme with me that says, if you think you've blown God's plan for your life, rest in this, my friend. You're not that powerful. And that can be supported by the fact that we know David said in Psalm 31, verse 15, New American Standard says, my times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Isaiah continues in Isaiah 64, verse 4. From the days of old they have not heard nor perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen a God besides you who acts on behalf of the one who waits for him. The hand of God is powerful and full of favor for all those who wait for him, for all those who seek the hand of God. Verse 8 of chapter 64 of Isaiah, the New American Standard. But now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter, and all of us are the work of your hand. We are all the work of your hand. So we can take lessons from this review and these reminders of the power and favor of the hand of God. And as we close this split sermon today, we can be reminded by Peter in chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, what are we to do? Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Why? That he may exalt you at the proper time. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. These are the lessons that we can carry with us as we go through these end times together, serving God shoulder to shoulder, seeking the hand of our God on us. Have a wonderful, blessed, happy Sabbath, brethren.